Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is the Gospel reading from Luke chapter 8. And as we hear our Gospel reading, when we walk with Jesus into the region of the Gerasenes, we encounter a rather terrifying scene. This man, who is possessed by many demons, runs straight up to Jesus, and we hear all kinds of descriptions about this man and just how awful the demon possession was for him. And this had obviously caused great trouble in his whole community as well. Because it was so terrible, it had caused him and others so much torment that they had bound him with chains and put him under a guard just so that he wouldn't bother himself or anyone else any longer. But the legion of demons was so strong, so powerful, that he burst the chains, that he escaped the guard, and the man was driven out into the wilderness. And when we hear these descriptions of the demons and the demon-possessed man, it might be rather terrifying to us. How powerful are they? Is this something that we should be concerned about? And it is true that Satan sought this man's destruction through the demon possession. He sought this man's destruction in his body, in his mind, in his spirit. And that is always the goal of Satan, to destroy humankind in body, in mind, in soul, ultimately separating us from God and leading to the death of faith. That was Satan's goal for that man. That's Satan's goal for us today. But Jesus' goal is wildly different. Where Satan seeks your destruction, that man's destruction, Jesus always seeks to give you life. Jesus always seeks to give you salvation. And though the demons might seem powerful, though it might seem that nobody could control them in our reading for today, what becomes abundantly clear is Jesus is more powerful than they. Though they might seem intimidating, Jesus is able to cast them out and conquer them simply with the word of his mouth. So that's the message that our gospel reading from Luke chapter 8 has for us today. That though Satan seeks your destruction, Jesus always wants to give you life. Jesus always wants to give you peace. And thanks be to God that he has the power to do so. Thanks be to God that he has the authority to do so. The authority over Satan, the authority over the unclean spirits, and the power to give you the forgiveness of sins through his blood shed on the cross. Certainly the demons were seeking this man's physical destruction. The description from the gospel reading tells us, for a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. He had no place to rest, no place to be safe, not even the protection of clothes, but the demon always wanted to put him in these situations that would cause his physical harm and torment. And the demonic possession also led to the destruction of his family and his community. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. We don't know how long this was occurring. It tells us that it was for a long time, and his family and the other people in the village were simply at their wits' end. What are we supposed to do with this guy any longer? We don't really know. We don't know how to solve this. The demons seem to be too powerful for us, so maybe we'll just try to lock him up, put him under guard, out of sight, out of mind. But even that wasn't good enough. He broke the bonds, escaped the guard. But then what did the demon do to the man? Drove him out into the desert, out into the wilderness. isolating him, trying to keep him by himself in order that he might think he was all alone. There was nobody that could help him, nobody that would help him, and therefore the conclusion the demon wanted him to come to was that not even God could help him. And on top of all this, the physical destruction, the familial and social destruction, the ultimate goal of Satan is always spiritual destruction. We know how powerful the demons were regarding the harm to his body. Just imagine how much mental and spiritual torment that this man had to go through day and night. And then his isolation, when he went out into the desert, into the wilderness, also prevented him, first and foremost, from hearing the word of God. And that's always Satan's ultimate goal, spiritual destruction, the death of faith. And what we see on display with the demon-possessed man is really what Satan is always doing, even if in our lives it doesn't seem as obvious or as extreme. When you see the man in the region of the Gerasenes, possessed by the legion of demons, you look at him and say, yeah, there's something going on there. That's pretty crazy. That's pretty wild. That seems satanic. But Satan is always still at work, maybe in ways that we don't seem to notice, maybe in ways that don't seem as obvious as that outward demon possession. But it's really the same playbook over and over again. Satan trying to cause our physical destruction. And maybe it even is with temptations that on the outside seem pretty good. Temptations to do something that seem alluring. Some kind of lustful passion or something like that. It seems good on the surface, but what he doesn't tell us is that it ultimately leads to our physical destruction in the end, and then, of course, our spiritual destruction later on. Satan's goal also is to break apart our families, break apart our social circles by causing all kinds of discord and strife among us. And when he makes us think that there's nobody there for us, nobody that we can rely on, nobody that we can talk to, nobody that we can confess our sins to and be forgiven and give forgiveness, then maybe in the same way the conclusion is, God's not there for me either. If nobody else is there for me, maybe God isn't at all. Because that's always his goal, spiritual destruction, isolating us from God. Either making us think that we should hate God because God has done something unjust to us, or making us think that we could never be reconciled to God because of what we have done. What I have done is so terrible that I could never be forgiven by God. These are just the seeds of doubt in temptation that Satan is always trying to plant into the hearts of unbelievers in order that he might drag us back down to hell with him. And why do I bring this up? Why do I dwell on this? It's not to freak you out. It's not to make you think that Satan is more powerful than he actually is. I bring this up to make you aware. Because like St. Peter says, Satan prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's out there. He is working to tear you away from Christ. But we shouldn't be so aware of this that it freaks us out or makes us think that Satan is more powerful than he actually is. But it should cause us to be on our guard. It should cause us to recognize what's happening in this world as we battle the enemies of the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. And then this also causes us to cling to Christ all the more. Cling to his word all the more. Because that's the other thing that we have to emphasize. Though Satan and his demons sound scary in the reading, though he seems powerful, Who's more powerful? Jesus very clearly has authority over the demons. Jesus very clearly crushes Satan under his feet and then is able to just order around the demons with the word of his mouth. Satan's always trying to intimidate us, thinking he's more powerful than he actually is, but Jesus crushes him with the word of his mouth. Because as soon as Jesus comes on the scene, he doesn't fear the demon-possessed man. He doesn't avoid the demon-possessed man or act confused like he doesn't know what to do. But the text says as soon as he is there, he is already commanding the demons to depart from the man. And the mere presence of Jesus and the proclamation of his word means their destruction. And I find it bizarre whenever I read that passage and others like it when Jesus confronts demonic possession, that the demons know who Jesus is, first of all, and then also know that he is the one who has power to destroy them. And I don't know about you, but if I knew that there was one guy that had power to destroy me, I would avoid that guy. But what do the demons do? They always run right to Jesus. Why do they do that? I don't have a very good idea. But we almost get the image that they're driven to Jesus, driven to their destruction, like a moth is driven to the flame. They can't help it. And this shows just how powerful Jesus is and just how powerful his word is. That they have to beg him that he would not destroy them right then and there. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." And Jesus does bring about their destruction. He casts them out on that day. And then later through his work on the cross, when he crushes Satan under his feet, he brings about their full destruction. And he brings about our full victory. And the day is coming when Christ returns to judge both the living and the dead, when he will finally, ultimately, cast Satan and his demons into the lake of fire to be tormented forever and ever, as is said in Revelation 20, verse 10. "And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophets were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Jesus' authority over these demons, and then when they fly off the cliff in the pigs, this is really just a glimpse of the final total destruction that Jesus will bring upon them when he comes once again at the end of days. But the reason why he's able to do this is through his victory on the cross, through his blood shed that forgives your sin, that conquers Satan forever. They don't have a leg to stand on. They have no power. They have no authority over you, especially, because you are in Christ. You have freedom in him. And that's exactly what Jesus brings the man. Jesus frees the man completely. He frees him from all the physical trials and physical torments. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Who would have ever thought that this would be the result of this man? Nobody could control him. Nobody could do anything. He was tormented physically, mentally, spiritually, day and night. And then at the word of Jesus, he is sitting there clothed and in his right mind. Who could have predicted it? Who could have done it? It was only by the power and the word of Christ. And then the man is freed to do Jesus' will. The man is free not to be led around by the demons and do the demons' will, but now he is free to do Jesus' will. And that is exactly what all of us were created to do from the beginning, to do the will of God, to be the way that we were created to be in perfect union with God. And that's exactly what the man goes on to do. Jesus tells him, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. And dear friends in Christ Jesus, the same is true for you. Though Satan seeks your destruction, Jesus always seeks that you might have life and salvation in him. Jesus frees you from all the torments of the devil. Even if you go through physical trials in this life that the devil is trying to tempt you to get you to hate God because of, if God really loved me, why would he let this happen to me? That's what Satan is always trying to whisper into your ear. Because Jesus has freed you from death, and because Jesus has taken all of your suffering into himself, this frees you to know that everything that happens is for your good, as St. Paul says. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor any power. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nobody, not even death itself, can take heaven away from you. This frees you from the fear of death and the torment of Satan. Jesus and his blood shed on the cross and your forgiveness of your sins frees you from the guilt and torment of that guilt that Satan tries to throw back into your face constantly. Would Jesus actually forgive you for that? That thing that you keep struggling with as the days go on, God certainly will not forgive that, is the accusation that Satan always tries to bring toward you. But it could not be further from the truth. Because as St. Paul tells us, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because you have had your sins forgiven by the blood of Christ, Satan cannot accuse you any longer. So when he tries to tell you that your sins are still upon you, you can boldly declare that your sins have been paid for through the blood of Christ shed on the cross. He can torment you no longer, because you are free in Christ. And though Satan tries to isolate you, saying that you're all on your own, you're all by yourself, not even God can help you, Jesus gives you so much more by bringing you into himself, uniting you with God once again, giving you perfect union with himself and with the Father. And when you know that's true, you know that you're never alone. And on top of all of this, when he brings us into his body, this also brings us together with the unity of believers, his holy Christian church. As long as you are in this unity of believers in the body of Christ, you truly are never alone. God is always with you, and your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ are always with you and are always there for you. These are the promises of Jesus that defeat the torments of Satan. And in the same way, just like that man was freed to do the will of Christ, you too are freed to do the will of Christ. And like he told that man, go and tell all that God has done for you, you can do the same, proclaiming to everyone that Christ has freed you. Proclaiming to everyone that Christ has forgiven you. And that forgiveness is freely offered to all who call upon the name of Christ. All who call upon the name of Christ will be saved. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now no torment for those who are in Christ Jesus. Christ gives you freedom. Christ gives you life. Christ gives you salvation forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.